The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Let us pray. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seeds in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seeds in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. But God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas. Let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "I see I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
So, let us pray Psalm 8 responsively. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, you have set in their courses. Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them
all flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts in the field.
The birds of the air.
O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Glory to the Father.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. When school was out and it was at last summer, a few things changed at my family's home. The routines changed when I was a child. The main thing, besides having no school, was the daily list of chores that my mom left on the kitchen table every morning. We lived at the top of the city park, and in the park, at the bottom of the hill was the swimming pool, and we were always signed up for all the swimming classes, and I signed up for beginners, intermediate, swimmers, and advanced every year because I wanted to be in the water all morning. And then in the afternoons, they had these park programs, and we put on plays, and we made luster lace bracelets, and played games. I must have been a very good actress, because one week we did a play, and I was the tree, and the next week, I was Sleeping Beauty. No lines, but, you know. So with all of these activities that we had in our summertime, my mom still thought that there was plenty of time for us to get our chores done. And this list was always there every day, these admonitions for us. Do these things before I get home, while I'm gone. And on that list, ever-changing list, was always one constant. My mom wrote, "Don't fight and watch out for your brothers and sisters." There was always that admonition at the end of her list. I think she must have read St. Paul with those daily notes of remembering, and hear Jesus, we hear Jesus today and Paul in this reading. Here's what to do while I'm gone. Here's what you should be about while I'm gone. Now you might wonder why the church gives us such farewell admonitions on this Trinity Sunday. This Sunday is like a hinge Sunday in the church year. We have from Advent to Pentecost, the first part of the church year, and we hear all of the stories about Jesus, his birth and his death, his teachings, his healings, his calling the disciples, all the stories about Jesus' interactions with people and mainly his teachings. And then we get to Trinity Sunday, this hinge Sunday, and from Trinity until Advent, we have this time of the church year called ordinary time. But I don't think there's anything ordinary about it. I think it's really extraordinary. We get this great long time of the church year where we hear about the mission and the ministry of the church. It's about how do we act, what do we do while I'm away, as Jesus said, while I'm away. This is an extraordinary time in the church year. So we get these farewell admonitions as we start this part of the church season. And we ask the question, what are we to focus on as we go about being God's image in the world? In that creation story, God made humans in God's image. So if we are God's image in the world, what are we supposed to be doing? What are our chores for the day, for the season? And how are we, as a community of faith, how are we doing, and what should we be doing? The farewell admonition that we heard in the gospel, from Matthew's gospel, is often called the Great Commission. It gives us a big push, a great push, moving forward in the mission and the ministry that is entrusted to us by the triune God. As a congregation in mission, we are held up and held together by faith, worship, and doubt. Now, faith and worship make sense. We come here week after week to hear the good news. The good news that is almost too good to be true. And we need to hear it often so that we can let that truth soak into our very beings. Like Mary said with the children's sermon, every morning to remind ourselves that we are the beloved children of God. That's such an awesome message We need to hear it over and over again to believe it. How often do you need to be told, I love you, by your spouse or your partner, by your friends, by those who care for you? To say I love you. You don't just say it once. You say it over and over again. Because we need to hear that. We need to believe that. We need to let that soak into our very being. That's why we come to church week after week. We've heard that story. We don't need to hear it again. But we do need to hear it again. We need to hear it over and over again so it soaks into our being so that we can learn that it is our core truth. God not only created us and all that exists, but this creator God knows us and cares for us and wants us to care for the world. This is a bold affirmation that needs to be repeated over and again and shared in order for us to believe it and to live it. Worship and faith are clearly marks of a congregation in mission. But then we have this doubt. All the gospel stories about the disciples hearing of the resurrection of Jesus had doubt as their initial response. They are the ones that followed Jesus from the very beginning, the ones who heard his daily teaching, saw the miracles, and they doubted. Today we hear in Matthew's gospel that just as Jesus is about to give this great commission, this final admonition to his chosen disciples, that even as he was just about to send them out to witness in the world, they doubted. They worshiped and doubted. It's a good picture of us, isn't it? We are the people of faith with a blend of doubt. We are a people of hope and fear, of successes and failures. As Martin Luther put it, we are people, the people of God, simul ustis est peccator. We are saints and sinners at the very same time. Not black and white, but gray. We are mixed together all the time, righteous saints and repentant or needing to repent sinners. And the more clearly we remember that and claim that truth for ourselves, the better that we can understand ourselves, that we are believers and doubters. We are saints and sinners. And the more we understand that about ourselves, the more welcoming we can be to people wherever they are on their faith journey. We have times when our peccator is greater than our ustis, when our doubt is greater than our faith, when we have a more difficult time believing the gospel, and we can then remember that we are not alone in that doubt. We are not alone in that feeling, because the truth is, in the end, God will keep God's promises. God's promise, I will be with you always. I always found great strength in that one little phrase, I will be with you always, and I read it in different ways. I will be with you always, meaning forever and ever, all the time, and I will be with you all ways. Not just in the way that when I'm putting my hand out to receive communion, yes, indeed. Not only when I am thinking about something and it brings me to prayer, yes, of course. But also when I'm taking a walk on the cliffs or when I'm having a fight with my sister. God is with us in all ways. It's clear from Jesus' final admonition that we just heard here that he does not expect them to stay on that mountain. He said, go. And that invitation extends to us as well. We like to experience the mountaintop faith experiences, the times of worship when we feel so connected to God and to one another, where we're refreshed and inspired to believe. But that's just the beginning. That's just the preparation. Like Moses on Mount Sinai, like Jesus on the Mount of the Transfiguration, and like the disciples on that mountain, they have to come down. Jesus sends them out into the world. And so we come together as a faith community to be inspired to carry out God's work, to love and to bless the world in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our activities, in all ways. Sometimes this does involve sharing our faith, but it always involves our living our faith by being all that God has created us to be. We're called to be faithful in whatever roles we have been given, in whatever things we are to do, in whatever chores are on our particular list. God is with us in all ways. Last night I got a call from my friend Cara, and she was very excited to tell me that she's starting a new job tomorrow. She's going to be the campus pastor at Lutheran Texas University in Texas. She just moved from Flagstaff. And she was saying that one of her goals in this new job that she has in campus ministry is to help young people learn that church isn't a place to go or a thing to do. Church is how we live. Just as we can't separate doubt from faith, saint from sinner, we can't separate our living into God's work and our work. God's work and our lives. It's all one. It's who we are, not what we do. The best news of this good news that we hear today is that Jesus' commission can't be separated from Jesus' promise of his presence. We share what we have seen and heard because Jesus wants all people to know the love and mercy of God. The goal for us as a community of faith, as a church in mission, isn't to get more people to come to church. That's not our goal. Our goal is getting more people to be church. And then they will come to church, because this is where we get our faith, our fuel for going out. The goal is to get as many as God's children as possible to hear how much God loves them and values them. Now, that's not an easy goal. So much of life conspires to make us doubt that we deserve love and respect. We question if we really have a faith to share. Do we really believe enough to tell anyone else? That's why Jesus promises to be with us, to hold on to us, to continue to use us as we live, being church, bearing witness to the God of love, the God who cried with delight at our creation. Did you notice that in that creation story? As God went through the day creating this, he looked at the world. Wow, that's good. Then he made the seas and the stars, and he said, wow, that's pretty good. Doing good work here. Doing good work. He's making the animals. He made all the plants, and he made everything. He said, that's good, that's good. And then God made people. And when God made people, he said, that is very good. That is very good. When God looks at you, yeah, my handiwork, I made that. I'm very pleased in that. My masterpiece. I'm very pleased. God looks at us. We are made in God's image. Imagine that. You want to know what God looks like? Look in the mirror. God is made We are made in God's image. And that's very good. We are commissioned by Jesus, and that should give us courage. We are promised Jesus' presence and his ongoing love and support. And that should indeed give us courage, no matter what may come. And this is good news. There is hope and consolation in Jesus' commission to us. Jesus doesn't say, go to church and just stay there. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by telling people how much God loves them, that they are loved and cared for as we are loved and cared for. And we can't say that what we don't know. So the only way we can learn that and know that is by coming together to hear that message. God loves us and cares for us always. And this is the triune God we proclaim. God who created us with joy and delight. God who sends us out to share the good news of God's love for all people. God who empowers us and encourages us to be the church as we live. Amen.